There is a session at full swing. The Sage in Gateshead as Thinking Digital hits day two. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of sitting front row in the audience and listened to a robot give a presentation. It's definitely a first. And then later on, that very same robot retweeted me on Twitter, which was also slightly freaky. And once again, I thought, oh no, I really am in the future. Where was this porthole I stepped into? Probably the front door of this building. I'm sat with Heather Knight, who is behind lots of things robotic and technological, and when it comes to video, also extremely viral. Heather, what do you do for a job?
I am a roboticist. I make social robots and also installations that have charisma.
Give me an example of some of the work that people may know about.
Well, one of the things you're really excited about is this OK Go music video that I did as part of Syn Labs with last year, this Rube Goldberg machine. The music video is called This Too Shall Pass, and it is one thing that hits another thing that causes another one, so it's like a mousetrap or contraption or a Rube Goldberg machine.
And it must have been a gajillion hits on the internet because people were like, how the hell did they do that? And I got a bit of the background story yesterday. Fascinating, massive. I was, again, then just hugely impressed by your robot. Who is he? What is he? Tell me more. Is it he?
Yeah, actually. So my robot is named Data, the robot. He's based on the Now platform, which is a French robot built by Aldebaran Robotics. I actually helped design some of the sensors for that robot when I was working for that company, but now it's like 100 people just working on one single product. Like, they want to be the Dell of robots or the, you know, Microsoft. Well, not Microsoft, sorry. Despite your last interview. But they want to enable a future where robots can kind of be as accessible and purchasable and playable and programmable as a lot of the other technology that we're starting to know and love. But my particular interest is in intersecting robots and entertainment. So I'm trying to learn from, I'm an electrical engineer, a programmer, but I'm trying to learn from the entertainment industry, from the performing arts, from our acting theorists that have thought about what gesture means, what expression means, how do you capture an audience, and so that we can create live, interactive, charismatic systems, whether robotic or technological.
So concentrating on the arts and having, I guess, robots perform means that the interaction with the human viewer has to be pretty special. There has to be almost some kind of rapport occur between machine and human.
Right, yeah, I'm really interested in character and engagement, and yeah, I think if we're trying to, as soon as you give something arms and legs, we're going to treat it in a social manner. It's not about the robot, it's about being human, and so it's about how do you design that interface. It's just one of those rising necessities that will be incredibly important in the current and near future.
Two things I've got slight issues with. The arts in the UK at the moment suffering massive cuts.
Right.
Do you really want to be replacing them with robots?
I'm not replacing them with robots. I mean, if anything, like you, that you're kind of bringing an infusion of new excitement. But and it's not like they're going to be capable of anything. Like, I think something about performance is, and charisma in general, and also humor and love, those are the most elusive things possible. But if you can get some even basic sense into physical systems of how to relate to people and how to not offend them, who to pass first in the hallway, how if someone hasn't been, you know, let's say you're supposed to be helping someone with their medical house or health or helping them keep with their fitness and diet plan, and they haven't checked in with you for a while, you're just sitting on a table even, but how do you re-engage them if they've been away for a while? It's like, how do you manage relationships with people? Often is it one of the biggest struggles at work, at your job, has absolutely nothing to do with the subject that you're really working on, but it's about people relationships. And so hopefully that makes it kind of clear, like, whether you're trying to accomplish something entertaining or whether you're accomplishing something really functional, when you have these entities that... have social presence. If as soon as they have a voice, they don't even need to move. Like, if you could have a conversation, you start having emotional responses. Like, there's like a car that tried at one point to tell people, like, please put on your belt, please put on your belt. And, like, people got so angry at that stupid car. Like, the first year, they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then, so they turned it to a beep, because you don't anthropomorphize a beep in the same way as you do a voice. And so just for our own crazy evolutionary social programming, we just need to think about that as a design principle.
Yeah, and my sat-nav in the car, I've programmed it to be angry at me or make fun of me when I miss a turn, not be nice, because that makes me angry. So it actually goes, what are you doing? You've just missed your turn, you idiot. And I'm like, sorry.
That's great. Yeah, there have been actually some really interesting studies about nav systems. Everyone has their own personality, so but there's there's some customization that could happen there. But in general, like, yeah, it's true. Like, if you do something really stupid and it's just super nice to you and it's getting worse and worse and worse and it's still, like, really happy, you're like, you stupid! Like, and so it's, like, it's quite interesting. Like, you want the affect, that if you're trying to do something collaboratively, you want the affect, and where affect is emotion, to be in tune with each other. So kind of this attunement between... So one of the things that actually that I'm working on that's kind of new and exciting that I haven't talked about at this conference is I'm doing a project right now to actually with a Kinect to see if I can get a robot tour guide to assess human body language. Yes, that's a really big topic, but, like, there's some simple things, like, that I'm interested in. So kind of having worked a bit with audiences, like, there's abstractions that you can glean from a group of people that you can't necessarily glean from an individual. Laughter and applause, if distributed across, like, 100 people, is a much better single indicator of how well a performance is going than just tracking any single person's individual face. And so I'm curious if there's other artifacts and more of a kind of live experience, like walking through a building with a robotic tour guide, where it can check whether, if it indicates an object, do people actually look there? What is the delay? Like, what are the best indicators if they're, like, fiddling a lot with their book or whatever it is, like, of whether people are engaged, of whether they're attuned with the robots, kind of, like, in sync with the motion. Like, if we're having an interesting conversation, we tend to nod in the same rhythms. So I think there's some interesting things. So if you have the robot's kind of movement be in a certain way, is there a way that he can assess in real time how effective his presentation is going? So either he can go, hey kids, come on, like, pay attention right now, and then, like, or kind of, if they don't like it, okay, fine, you don't like architecture, let's get back to technology, and, you know, and then talk about the artifacts of kind of, like, I don't know, how the lift works.
How can scientists, and this is me just dipping into a massive stereotype here, teach the nuances and the emotion of human interaction when quite a lot of them, the ones I've come into contact with, kind of have a little bit of an issue socially,
right,
should we say. Is the game to let the robot learn for themselves?
So you have to kind of, no matter what, you need to sort of frame what you're trying to get the robot to learn. The more constraints, the easier it is for it to do that. So if I say, okay, this is a stand-up comedian, he's only going to tell jokes, he's trying to tell the best jokes possible, and, like, let's, and these are, and we kind of, like, know that applause is good and heckling is generally sort of bad, like, then you can, if you have to define, you have to define everything first, and then a robot can do some learning. So it's, you're still setting up the system. So one of the reasons why I'm such a big advocate of going into collaborations with the arts, collaborations with entertainers, is they are the human professionals of charisma. So you get these robots as far away from the people that are least social as possible. Well, not really, but I mean, but you kind of establish the collaboration space between them, where we really can tap into the deep knowledge and really intuition of a set of people that, like, maybe don't know exactly why they do what they do, but, like, for example, I'll be at the Amsterdam Comedy Festival on Friday, and we're going to be interviewing some comedians there with the robot, maybe kind of, you know, getting some feedback on his act. He has, like, a really short thing, so, like, similar to here, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. But yeah, so if anyone's in Amsterdam, but I have a lot to learn, and I've been making social robots for 9 years, and this project with performers and robots has only been maybe a year old. MarilynMonroeRobot.com if you want to learn more, and very excited for the
future.
Thank you
very much. Tell me very briefly as well about the Robot Film Festival.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's another Marilyn Monroe book project. So we're throwing the first ever in the world, as far as I know. Please let us know if we're not, because we've been kind of like talking all high. But in New York City on July 16th and 17th, and we're currently seeking short film submissions that feature a real or fictional robot. I'm really interested in kind of making science and engineering more playful in general, but also utilizing narrative to explore like possible futures. I don't think that there's any technologist that has ever existed that wasn't inspired by some sort of like Star Wars movie or book or like Isaac Asimov in their work. And so I do think that entertainment has the power to also shape and analyze where we want to go with technology. And it'll be really fun. We're also going to have a red carpet, a Botsker award ceremony. So it's kind of like Sundance and the Oscars all in one.
I know a couple of people that will be booking tickets right now. One last thing. As good as you get at this, the best you could possibly be and the things that you achieve, will you not be making robots kind of less interesting, less robotic because they just fuse into humanity?
I don't know if you're going this direction, but like if you're talking about the day when kind of...
We don't know who's a robot and who's not.
Right, well, like when robots start kind of... You start using biology instead of... metal and motors and plastic. I'm really glad that we're not at that point.
I think you are most certainly in the most exciting age of this, and we will look back on this fondly and may even, as robots ourselves, biological robots, go out and buy a suit to make us look like your little friend on Twitter. What's his Twitter name?
Robot in the Wild.
And your Twitter name?
Heather Knight. KNIGHT.
Thanks very much for talking with me.
All right, thank you. Ciao.